Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Pigskin Picks for 2022. I'm Matt Seidel, along with the rest of the Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel and Josh Trope. Fellas, welcome to week six of Pigskin Picks. I must admit, I'm starting to think a lot more about basketball these days, but that did not keep me from enjoying football this weekend. My Olivet Eagles win 50-0. Thank you, Perry, for that going away present. My Wolverines survived a scare from Maryland. MSU got absolutely throttled. And I was busy with 3-on-3 today and didn't see the Lions heartbreak. So I guess it was a good weekend. How about you guys?
Yeah, enjoyed a good weekend of football as well. Got to see Napoleon get a win on homecoming over Hanover Horton. They had a very nice showing, which was good to see. The Michigan game, that was definitely a little bit of a scare there. I think it's similar to the Rutgers game a year ago, which I think might have been week four last year, to be honest.
It was.
But, you know, they came out of it with the win, so we'll see if they can kind of build some momentum off of that and go into next week. And then, yeah, the Lions today, oh, my goodness, it was tough. I know there's going to be a lot of people questioning things. I was, for the most part, in line with what they did, but definitely tough way to lose. And then I still think they did some nice things. So I got some confidence in them moving forward, but we'll see.
Good weekend for football. My two favorite Catholic teams both rolled. Lumen went down to Coldwater and put a beating on Coldwater down there, running clock by halftime. And Notre Dame went on the road and beat a very good North Carolina team, 3-0 team on the road, and beat them soundly. So Notre Dame seems to be getting a little momentum going as well. Great weekend for football. And next week we got the BKM coaching clinic coming up for basketball here in the state of Michigan. So I'm excited about that as well.
So this past week, when it comes to the picks, I think I took my first victory in terms of individual weeks. I was 7-3, moving my overall record to 27-23, but that is still in third place. Derek went 5-5 this week. He is now 30-20 overall, good for second place. And Josh Trope rallied a little bit, went 6-4. He leads at 32-18. Everybody's still in the race here with a few weeks still to go. Actually, we got at least 4 weeks to go. So once again, we are picking 7 high school games, all scheduled for Friday, 2 college games on Saturday, and another pro game on Sunday. So let's get rolling. We got a nice little list to work with. Our first game, and it's a big one. Ann Arbor Huron, 3-2 at Dexter, 5-0. Derek, what do you think about your alma mater?
Yeah, I think this is when it really gets real for the Dreadnoughts. They're 5-0. They really have not had too many competitive games, some of that due to them beating solid teams, but also some of it due to them having played kind of the easier portion of their schedule. Their last 4 games here are Huron, Monroe, Saline, and Chelsea. So this is where we're really going to find out what they're made of. I know they've, I think somebody had them number 1 this past week, which was, that has to be a first. That's pretty cool and everything. This past week, obviously they is like, some really bizarre stats in that game against Pioneer. They didn't run very many offensive plays. They had like 3 return touchdowns. They had a safety. They're kind of scoring however they wanted, but I think that kind of helps them be healthy rolling into this week against Huron. In terms of Huron, it seems like they've kind of found their groove here after starting 0-2. Obviously they just have so much talent just across the board. I mean, just all kinds of different guys have been putting up numbers in recent weeks. I know Cameron Flowers had a few explosive plays on offense in their win, their close win with Bedford a couple of weeks ago. Donnell Green has put up big numbers at running back the last few weeks. Andrew Harding has been very solid at quarterback, throwing the ball and running the ball a little bit. And it's funny, Samaha has had multiple field goals in each of the last few games as well. So they're really using him as a weapon. It's rare to have a guy in high school where, it's really like the college game where you can kick a 50-yard field goal and you can feel confident about it. That does give you more ability to put up points. I think this should be a great football game. Obviously, Dexter needs to win this kind of to set up that game with Celine as basically a league title game at the end of the year. Huron, obviously, if they knock off Dexter and Dexter were to knock off Celine, they'd be right there in the league race as well. This would be a great game to be at. I probably will be at the Napoleon game, but otherwise this would be the top one on the list. I'm going to go with Dexter in this one. I think it should be a hard fought victory. I like the fact that they're healthy coming into this and they've really kind of developed some of their weapons with Reeves Taylor throwing the ball around to Tesmer and Parachek and some of those other guys that have kind of found their stride in recent weeks.
Yeah. And the best part is you can be at the Napoleon game this week and just have your earbuds in and listening to Catholic Radio 93.3 FM. And you can listen to me announce and do the color for the Lumen Christi Northwest game Friday. So, I mean, that's the real treat in this deal. As far as the Huron Dexter game goes, the question that really has me on the edge of my seat is, does Huron have a basketball coach yet? I mean, that's really the big question here. But since we don't have anybody to answer that question, I'm gonna talk a little bit about the game. I do believe Dexter is the real deal this year. It has taken me a while to get there. I doubted it early in the year. They've been impressive every week, and they seem to be well-rounded this year. You mentioned how they're scoring touchdowns different ways, but their defense has been impressive and seems to get better week to week as well. I see Dexter winning this game. I see them going into a matchup with Celine, both of them 7-0 for the SEC Red title. But even if Dexter does slip in this game, they still control their own destiny and can get a shared league title by beating Celine in week 8. And we all know I like shared league titles.
Oh, man. You guys have said a lot about it. It's funny, Derek, you mentioned some weird stats. I may have read this wrong, but my man Cole Cabana, I think he had 120 yards and 2 TDs on 5 carries, and he returned a punt and a kickoff for a touchdown. So he had 4 TDs again, and he only played like half the game. That's just, I've been watching a really good running back at Olivet this year. In terms statistically, they do some of the same things. Obviously, Cole's a different level of a player, but man, what a year he's having against some high level teams. This Reeves Taylor, which I think I butchered his name. I was calling him Taylor Reeves last time, but I think we can get his name right. 6 for 7, 117 yards, very efficient. Parachek, again, good to see the big fella in the end zone. Cole Darby scored a touchdown for Dexter, I think, on a pass too. So they are deep. I think that they can contain Huron, even though you got to keep Huron away from the big play. But I like Dexter in this one, and I could see it being a two-score, three-score type of pull-away victory. Okay, moving to our second game. A little SEC action again. We have Tecumseh. Who would have thought? 5-0 at Jackson. A good Jackson team, 3-2. Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, Tecumseh rolled this week, 52-0 over Ipsy. Jackson beat Ypsilanti the week before, 43-7. So pretty comparable scores. Tecumseh has only given up 54 points on the season. That's 10.8 points per game. Unbelievable. I mean, I know I took some shots at the Indians early in the year about their impressive offense and that they've never been able to stop anybody. They've certainly proven me wrong. Their defense continues to get better week to week. Now, that being said, they're already talking to Tecumseh, Chelsea for the SEC White title in 2 weeks. Tecumseh has not been there before. And this is a new experience for a lot of these kids. They found a little success in basketball last year. They've always been good in baseball and track, but this is new. And I gave you guys a shot last week. I picked Hazlitt. It burned me. Here's your door to open again. I'm predicting that Tecumseh starts peeking ahead to that Chelsea game and that showdown the week after, and they get beat. They go into Jackson and get beat this week by Jackson, who just beat Pinckney 40-14. I'm going with my boys from Jay High on Friday night.
I think that is very possible. I think this is, you look, even just looking at their two common opponents, Ypsilanti and Pinckney are their common opponents. The scores have been similar, a little variance here and there. Jackson won this game last year, 44-41. Wouldn't surprise me if it's a very similar score. Jackson put up 424 yards on the ground Friday, by the way. Tavion Tanner, 17 carries for 193 yards and a touchdown. Big-time player for Jackson. Meland, Weatherspoon. He carried the ball twice for 73 yards and two TDs. That's pretty efficient too for Jackson. Against Ipsy, Tecumseh just had everybody doing everything. I mean, their quarterback, Jacob Burns, has been solid throughout the season. He rarely throws an incompletion, putting up big numbers. He runs the ball well. A.J. Bryan is a threat running the ball. He had three more touchdowns. Gavin Chenevy caught another long ball from them. So they're loaded with offense. I think it's Tecumseh's time. I've been saying that the last couple of weeks. I just think this is their year. I think they've got a bunch of winners, and they come at you from multiple ways. I could see them winning this game with both teams scoring in the 40s. Derek?
I definitely think this is an extremely tough game to pick. I didn't have a decision made coming into this. You guys obviously split. So if you guys would have picked the same team, I probably would have gone opposite of you guys. Yeah, you know, I watched a little bit of the Jackson-Chelsea game, and I know they had an injury to a running back. I cannot remember his name off the top of my head, but he had been putting up huge numbers for the first few weeks. And I was thinking, man, maybe losing him is really going to derail their season a little bit. But they seem to have enough guys to replace them, like you mentioned, with Tavion Taylor running for all those yards this past week. And they just have had a lot of explosive plays on the offensive side. Jackson has played in some close games already this year, and I really feel like Tecumseh has not. They haven't been tested. I think this should be a tough game. I think I got to go with Jackson in this one since they're the home team, and I think they got a little more. They're a little more battle-tested at this point, so I'll go with the Vikings.
Okay, that takes us to game three, and we're going to talk about the Olivet Eagles for the first time in a while. Olivet, 4-1. At Pawoma Westphalia, who is 3-2, a rare two-loss season for the defending D7 state champs. I think they've won two state championships in the last 3 years. PW lost to CMAC rival Fowler on Friday, 20-16, and a late score by Fowler. That snapped a 48-game league winning streak for them. That's how much they've dominated their conference. Olivet beat Perry, as I talked about earlier, 15-0 Friday. That extended their GLAC winning streak to 26 games. Olivet is pursuing its sixth straight GLAC title. Last year, these two teams played in Olivet. It was a well-played game, but PW won 26-14. They're legit. They're just, you know, their quarterback, Troy Wertman, is an absolute stud through the air and on the ground, and they always have dudes. They must have lost three key players to us last year in that game at Olivet, and they just keep rolling out new guys. Their depth in their program is amazing. Their athletic program is something else. But Olivet is getting healthy. We've still got two guys out that, you know, we may have lost for the season. But our quarterback, Bo Lincoln, is getting comfortable. Ramsey Basso is having a Cole Cabana type season statistically as a running back, as a receiver, and he's even kicking now for us. He missed one extra point the other day, but then so the next time he made up for it by running in the two-point conversion. He has been phenomenal. Our All-State tackle, Drew Pretty, is a force that we run behind. He has moved to tight end, by the way, caught a pass the other day and is blocking in the run game from a different angle now. So Olivet's starting to put it together. I've got Olivet winning in a close game at PW. I will be in Nebraska, but I'll be following closely and live tweeting from, 1,000 miles away. So anyway, hey, Derek, what do you think?
Wait a minute, you're not interviewing for the Nebraska football job, are you?
I am interviewing, no. it's a family wedding, but yeah, of all places, Nebraska. So anyway, Derek?
Yeah, definitely an exciting game this week here with Olivet and PW. You know, Olivet has just not played anybody that's tested them in recent weeks. I think that's probably good for them to kind of really get things going, kind of get some rhythm, get some confidence after that opening week loss to Charlotte. Like you mentioned, some of those younger guys in new roles like Bo Lincoln and stuff at quarterback should help them out. With PW having won in state titles in 16, 17, 19, and 21. And I think they probably were either there or won a few times before that as well. It's insane what they've put together. I'm torn on this one. I don't think PW is quite as good. I think the fact that they've lost a few games shows that. I worry about Olivet's lack of depth. I know that's weird to say when you're talking about a bigger school, the bigger school in the matchup, but I think I'm going to go with PW in a close one. They're the home team, so I'll roll with them in this one.
Olivet football is a lot like Olivet basketball. You know, they schedule like two tough games and surround those games with a bunch of cupcakes. But I do think Olivet is getting healthy at the right time. I do think that they're getting on a roll. I like that they're getting a little more innovative by moving some guys around and things like that. I think that's exciting. I'm going to tell you this right now. I would pay big, big, big money to see these two teams play in basketball. That on the other hand, in football, not so much. I'm going with, I can't believe this pains me to do this, but I'm going with the Olivet Eagles, baby. Here we go. Let's go, Bo Lincoln. Big one on Friday.
Funny you referenced the PW Olivet basketball matchup. That will be occurring for the second straight year, but you don't have to pay any money because it's an exhibition game. We'll be going to PW this year, and two good programs going at it to make themselves better, but not counting against the regular season record. So I'm not sure whose choice that was. But
wait a minute. Your basketball team is going to play on the road?
Rare road exhibition game. The last time I had a road exhibition game, things didn't work out well. but I'm gonna make sure I get my people in place for that one. So, all right, let's move on. Let's move to the fourth game to the Cascades Conference. We have Manchester 4-1 at Michigan Center 1-4. Derek, your thoughts?
Yeah, another good matchup here, I think, in the Cascades. This past week, Manchester cruised to a victory, and Michigan Center had a hard-fought loss to Grass Lake. I really think at this point, Michigan Center's in a tough spot. I mean, they're what are they now, 1-4? And they just suffered so many close losses. The Hanover game, the Addison game, and the Grass Lake game all were extremely close, and they just they've been on the wrong side of all of them. They clearly have a good passing attack with Kyron Lane and Lucas Howard as the skill guys. They also hand the ball to those guys occasionally, and Adrian Putnam is good at getting them the ball. Manchester, on the other hand, I think they really do have a very solid football team. We've talked about them quite a bit. I think I've been pronouncing Jackson McGuigan, I believe. I've been pronouncing his name wrong, so I'm sorry for that one, Jackson. He's an all-state level wide receiver. I think he's got a good chance to get to 1,000 yards this year, which is a heck of an accomplishment in high school. There was a couple of antics from Manchester at the end of the Napoleon game that I was not necessarily a fan of. I thought they did some things the wrong way there, but I do really want to win this competition in terms of my record. So I have to pick them. It pains me to do it after they took a cheap shot on a kneel at the end of the game against Napoleon, but I do think they're going to win this week. And as much as it pains me, I'm going to pick Manchester.
Michigan Center. I mean, come on, guys, you killed me. I got on the pod last week and I said you're about to make a run. You're going to run right into the playoffs and you're going to get on a roll. And then, you know, you go into Grass Lake and you drop one and now you're 1-4 on the year. I was just checking my Twitter feed from Friday night. The game ended at approximately 10:33 p.m., the Grass Lake Center game. At 10:34 p.m., Michigan Center's basketball Twitter account posted open gyms all next week. So obviously it is now basketball season in Center. I mean, they'll probably install their 2-2-1 press in this week, probably at an open gym.
Who are you taking in this game?
Manchester. It's
taking over, Manchester. Dude. Okay, all right. That's going to be across the board. We're going to go that way. I mean, the one common opponent is Addison. Who lost to Manchester in a close one, but they beat Michigan Center in a close one. So on paper, other than their records, I think these two teams can play at the same level. I expect it to be a decent game. It's at Michigan Center. I don't know when their homecoming is, but this is homecoming season. So it wouldn't be surprised. And if it is, I'm sure they're going to bring it. But I think Manchester has proven just a stronger team overall. And they seem to finish games better than Michigan Center. So I will go with the Dutch in this one. All right, moving to our fifth game, back to the SEC. We have a big rivalry game here. Monroe sitting 2-3 at Bedford 3-2. Josh?
Yeah, Monroe's 2-3 on the year, like you mentioned, but they've lost their last two games by a combined score of 80-0. Yes, that is correct, 80-0. Bedford is 3-2. And they had a nice close win over Lincoln last week, 36-28. This is not one of the better Bedford teams we've seen in recent years. They're usually more competitive than this. They lost Celine and Dexter, and they're struggling with teams they usually beat handily. You got to respect the rivalry, And I think because things have really fallen apart from Monroe the last 2 weeks, I think that they're going to give Bedford everything they can handle in this one. I mean, this is the end of Monroe's season. If they win, they get to 3-3 and have a very outside shot at making the playoffs because they still have to play Dexter. But if they lose, their season's over. And so because of that and because of the rivalry, I think this is going to be an extremely close game. But I'm going with the all-nicknamed team. I'm going with the Kicking Mules to win this one.
Good pick. Good pick. Monroe, rumor has it they are depleted with injuries, and that's kind of led to these two lopsided losses. And they've also played, obviously, Saline and Huron. That's probably part of the deal, too. Bedford, how about Bedford kind of pulling the Lumen Christie and using a looks like a halfback pass to beat Lincoln? It's a 28-28 game. And they, I think it was a slot back. Kyler Borst hit Brandon Korsnack, a 44-yard touchdown pass to break the 28 tight end. It was a safety later, too. But Bedford has a really good player, Trey. I think it's Bruggeman, but there might be a long letter there somewhere. But 166 yards on 19 carries Friday. Their quarterback, Lucas Gerber, does not throw much, but he's a winner. He knows how to manage the game with his feet and with his arm. I see Bedford actually winning this one going away, and that's really more to do with Monroe's just personnel issues right now. Derek?
I think you guys hit the nail on the head with this one. If this was earlier in the year, I think it'd be a more competitive game. I just feel like if you look at the scores, especially recently, Bedford has been more competitive. Specifically, that Huron game, I think, is when it stands out, where Monroe just was unable to be competitive and Bedford was able to in that game. So I'm going to roll with the Kicking Mules at home.
Okay, game six, and we're extending ourselves a little bit here, but one of these teams we've talked about and the other one not. Portland, traditional state power, 4-1. At Charlotte, 5-0. These are two teams from the CAAC. This is going to be a good football game. The one weird thing, Portland is coming off a slim 21-20 victory over, you just got to say it, a pretty average Sexton team, at least on paper. Portland's only loss is to DeWitt, however. Charlotte defeated Ionia 36-20 Friday. They have some common opponents, Ionia and Eaton Rapids. Both blew out Eaton Rapids. But Charlotte had a little harder time with Ionia. Portland's weapons, man, they got a quarterback named Mark Novus, threw for 196 against Sexton. They got a running back named Drew Miller, who had the winning TD against Sexton. They got a wide receiver, Chris Batley. He had over 100 yards receiving against Sexton. So that's the big three on offense for Charlotte. We've talked about Braden Hill, the running back. He's one of the best football players in the state of Michigan. Ben Buzzard is a winning quarterback for them. Cutler Brandt rushed for over 100 yards. They kind of come at you from two different ways running. The one thing about Charlotte last year, they started really strong and faded. And I sense they're going to fade again. And maybe it's a schedule thing. They've won some big games this year. I've seen Portland program play, and they just are tough kids. Nothing against Charlotte, but I am going to pick the Raiders in this one. Derek?
Yeah, I was at that Charlotte-Olivet game to open the year, and I was really impressed with this Charlotte team. I like the way they use their different counters and sweeps and different actions to get guys the ball in space. And Braden Hill, he's a stud. I mean, he really, really impressed me that night against Olivet. And I know he's having a huge year. Here's the crazy one for you in this one that I found. They've played six times in history. Okay, so it's kind of a recent rivalry. The rivalry started in 2011, if you want to call it that. I did a little math on this one. The combined score is 230-30. Portland is average winning these games 38-5. None of them have been competitive. So it's been, they're 6-0. It's just blowout city every time. Now, obviously, I think this Charlotte team is legit. So maybe this is the year Portland might have, like you said, maybe a little bit of weakness coming off that close game last week. But I'm going with history in this when I'm picking Portland.
All right. I really, really want to pick Ernst High School here to win this. I mean, Jerry and Steve built a great basketball. Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking about football. If Charlotte had the swarming defense that Steve's teams and Jerry's teams played with, in basketball. I might pick Charlotte in this one. Steve is without a doubt one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter. That being said, I would like to see Charlotte win this, but I just don't think it's going to happen. That being said, I'm going to go with Portland in this one.
All right. Our final high school game. We have not talked much about Clinton, undefeated Clinton. Clinton 5-0 at Dundee 5-0. A couple of undefeated teams. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, this Clinton team is impressive. I mean, I'm really impressed with the Red Wolves athletic program over there. Just they have a lot of just success and across the board recently. I mean, their football team is always good. Their basketball team is on an upswing right now. Their baseball team was good a year ago. So they're a good wrestling school. They're really good across the board. They're absolutely rolling to be 5-0. I know we picked that that Pontiac Notre Dame prep game earlier in the year, and that was a huge win for them. Against a bigger school. It's crazy. You know, they post some of their stats on Max Prep. So they've only thrown the ball through the first four games. The most recent game wasn't in there yet, but they've only thrown the ball like 17 times through four games. So they can just kill you on the ground. They use three guys, it looks, primarily to run the ball. It's Braden Lehman, who's a senior, who's got over 400 yards probably at this point. It looks like 8 touchdowns. They have a senior, Zach Shadley, and sophomore Jacob Feltz, who also are both over 300 yards and have multiple touchdowns at this point. So they can hit you from different spots in the backfield there. Dundee, they look like they're almost having a little bit of a miracle season. I mean, they almost slipped up last week against Columbia Central. They needed a late field goal to win that one 9-7. You know, obviously being 5-0 is awesome. They've had a couple close wins. Maybe you never know. Maybe this is just the miracle season for Dundee and they're going to win a bunch of close games. I just think that this is a major mismatch here. I think the LCAA is going to come down to that game with Clinton and Hudson late in the year. I think Clinton is going to roll here, but I could be wrong.
Wow. You kind of stole my thunder here. I mean, literally everything I was going to say, including Clinton and Hudson week 9. Red Wolves, huge. This is not even going to be close. We could have a running clock by the middle of the third quarter.
Wow. And Dundee, they're 5-0 for the first time in 30 years. Like Monroe, sounds like they are battling some injuries. Whether they get some of these kids back in this game, who knows? I think Derek mentioned some of their key guys. There's two Shadleys, right? There's one, I think Nick had he scored TDs on a kickoff and a punt return the other day. This is the Clinton guys. Zach Shadley had 140 yards rushing for Clinton. They just come at you from, Derek mentioned three other guys. They just have too many offensive weapons. If it rains or snows, I don't think it's going to snow, but it could rain. I think Dundee might be able to slop their way and keep this close. But if the weather is decent and all signs point to that, I agree. I think this one could get away from Principal Brian Schroeder, Athletic Director Ross Crow, a couple of Willow Run boys there.
And Willow Run South, baby.
Willow Run South. That's what Dundee is, right? Yeah, I think the Vikings are in trouble too. I'm going to go with the Red Wolves. I'm glad you said that because I probably would have said Redskins had you not corrected me there. But all right, that gets us through the high school picks. Now, man, for my kryptonite here, let's go into college football. Going to pick our typical games here. I say this trying not to laugh. We have Michigan State traveling to Maryland. And yes, you hear this right. Maryland is a 7-point favorite in this game. Wow. Josh, you want to start us off?
Well, let me ask. I mean, you know, to be fair, is Tua's little brother expected to be playing? Because I know he didn't finish the Michigan game.
I interpreted him sitting out was because it became a 2-score game and they didn't really think they had a chance. And of course, then the backup went right down against Michigan's prevent defense and scored. That's how I interpret it. But
you know, I heard there was a rib and a knee injury, so I didn't know. Okay. So yeah, Michigan State is really bad. I mean, really bad. And I'm pretty sure I could probably throw for 200 yards against them right now. I'd have to roll out of the pocket every time because I wouldn't be able to see over the linemen, but I'm pretty sure I could throw the ball down the field against these guys. I think it was one of our first podcasts talking about football. I'm pretty sure I called it then, saying that Mel Tucker was one of the most overpaid coaches in America and got a $90 million contract because of two wins, one in a COVID win over Michigan and one in a win last year. I mean, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, things might work out with Mel Tucker. I mean, like, coaches don't always start out great, but it's a rough start. And then, you know, let's be honest, Maryland is not very good either. I know every Michigan fan I've run into in the last 24 hours is like, oh my gosh, Maryland's one of the best teams in America, one of the best teams we've ever seen. Of course, you're going to say that because, you know, they exposed Michigan and for what they really are, and that's a fraud. But that being said, I think Maryland is still good enough to cover the 7 points, especially being at home. This scares me. I don't like the 7, though. It's a tough number, but I'm going to go with Maryland.
Name the Michigan fan. Name one Michigan fan who said that Maryland's one of the best teams in the country.
Oh, I ran into one today at a golf outing. Oh, that Maryland team. They're a great team. I don't want to expose that.
Yeah, expose them. Expose them because it didn't happen. Stop making stuff up on the podcast, okay? That's a fact check for everybody who's listening. Okay. Yeah, you're right about the quarterback situation. If Tagovailoa, I think I probably butchered that again, if he doesn't play, it changes everything. I'm not sure the backup. I think it's almost a pick'em game if the backup plays. But if he plays, eight Maryland receivers caught more than one pass against Michigan. That was an interesting stat. Their running backs, the Roman Hemby and Antoine Littleton II, a nice little combination. They complement each other real well. One of them, Littleton's 285 pounds, by the way. That's a big fella. Maryland defense, I think that was the key Saturday to keeping that game close, really. They were a little better than people thought, including myself. And I really am not even sure what to say about MSU, but I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm going to pick Maryland in this one because it just, man, they were just so bad, MSU. Against Minnesota. I don't know if they can recover from that.
You just illustrated my point. Like, Maryland's defense is horrible, but yet as a Michigan fan, you're like, wow, they're a little better than I thought. They gave up 240 yards rushing to Corum, and then they gave up 220 yards passing to the superstar. I mean, like, they gave up 500 yards of offense to Michigan. Like,
but they didn't give up 50 points, though.
That's a good defense.
They give up 50 points.
A real question, though, since this picking these Michigan games, oh my goodness. Yeah. Anyways, is Cole Cabana ever going to get on the field as amazing as he is? I mean, how old is Blake Corum? Is he a sophomore?
He's a junior.
With the pandemic, okay, so Cabana to play like 7 years. So
okay, so like maybe by his sophomore year, though, because that Blake Corum guy, he's not going, he's unbelievable. Yeah.
He might go to the NFL someday, too. So
that's true.
All right, Derek, what do you think after we shut Josh up? Go ahead.
Yeah, I had to watch some of that Michigan State game, and then I turned it off. But they were definitely terrible. I picked them the last 2 weeks, and they burnt me 2 weeks in a row. I think this is a terrible matchup for Michigan State. I just think, like, Maryland wants to throw the ball all over the place, and Michigan State's just really, really struggling with that. Maryland ran the ball well, like you mentioned, against Michigan. I was impressed with their offense. I think if Michigan State's going to win this, they need to really figure out the offensive side of the ball. They need to put up points, kind of match some of the points that Maryland's going to put up. You're talking about the quarterback situation. I think even if Taulia is out, they might be fine. The guy looked pretty good late in the game there, throwing the ball around. So I don't know that it's that big of an issue. I'm terrible at this. If anything, I should go against what I think each time because I'm getting all these college games and NFL games wrong, but I'm going to go with Maryland in this one. I just think it's a bad spot. I think the wheels are falling off at the moment for MSU.
Okay. Our other college game, Michigan at Iowa. Michigan is a 10-point favorite in this game at Iowa. Fortunately, they're playing in the afternoon. If you're a Michigan fan, watch a little bit of the Hawkeyes last night. Of course, they scored two defensive touchdowns in a 27-10 win over Rutgers. Their offense still seems somewhat anemic. They were 1 of 9 on third down. Not good. They only compiled 277 yards. Part of that is because they were scoring with their defense. But they only threw the ball 17 times as well. Even though most people aren't happy with Michigan and their 34-27 win, they did total 34 points. It's 463 yards, as Josh alluded to, including 243 on the ground. And like Derek said at the beginning of the podcast, you know, Michigan barely beat Rutgers last year, 20-13 in their Big Ten opener. So these kind of things happen. You're not going to blow everybody out. And the first time they're really facing, you know, Big Ten caliber athletes, just like when they played Rutgers last year, and it took them a while to adjust, but they did. And I think that will help Michigan get ready for this Iowa game. That said, for the first time all year, I'm going to pick Iowa to keep this one within 10 points. I'm going to go with the Hawkeyes. Derek?
Yeah, this is a really interesting game, I think, in the sense that, you know, everyone kind of had to reset their expectations on Michigan. Everyone was going crazy like before last week. Iowa is, I think they're really bad offensively, where I think this will be a game where you can really tell, all right, if Michigan's defense is legit, they should be able to really shut down Iowa's offense. And then, you know, the big thing with Iowa's defense is you need to, they're going to just try to like keep everything in front of them and make you make mistakes. And JJ might be a little bit like, I don't know, vulnerable to that. He put the ball on the ground twice last week. He almost threw an interception late in the game when they were only up three. Like he's taking some risks. So it's a little bit of a precarious situation in that sense. Also going on the road is always tough. Like you mentioned, being a noon game changes things. I'll be at the BCAM clinic, so I'm going to be kind of trying to do two things at once there, watch the game and listen to whoever's talking at that time. Josh has mentioned the running back situation. Corum is a junior. I think he might be in the NFL next year. They need another running back. I think that's the big, like this past week against Maryland, they gave the ball to Corum 30 times. They need to not have to do that. I think if they had Donovan Edwards healthy, they could split those carries more and they could maybe really wear teams out on the ground. But if Edwards isn't back, it's tough to just rely on Corum that much. And they maybe lost some confidence in the freshman after he fumbled on his one carry the other day. This is a tough game. I think with the minus 10 is tricky. I think I'm going to go with Iowa to cover in this one. I don't know. I'm so lost on these. I'm going to go with Iowa, but Michigan to win.
First road game for Michigan. I think one of like three they play all year. They got the Olivet basketball schedule and Olivet football schedule. I'm so tired of picking these games, and I could care less about Michigan football. I'm going to pick Iowa just because that way you guys can't get a lead on me in these games.
Wow, that's great strategy on your part. Way to analyze the game. Our listeners are so informed right now. All right, our final pick. We go to the pro game. The Seattle Seahawks visit Ford Field and the Detroit Lions on Sunday. The Lions are an early, believe this or not, early 6-point favorite. Derek, thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I watched pretty much all of today's game with the Lions and the Vikings. You know, it's got a lot of those SOL feelings that everyone loves to mention. And I think just there's such a fragile fan base that the Lions have. And they struggle to deal with these things. And it was a rough one. I mean, you've got to win that game considering the spot they were in. You know, I know people are going to question Dan Campbell and his decision-making. I think overall I actually wasn't too upset with I would have probably punted instead of trying to kick the long field goal at the end. And the only other one that I would have probably argued to do something different for sure would have been when they went for it on fourth down at midfield up 14 in the first half. I think they should have punted that one as well since they were up 14. But I think people are going to question him well beyond that this week. Here's the bottom line. They've done some really nice things through 3 weeks. They look like, in moments, they look like an extremely good NFL football team. The problem is you can't only play in spurts in the NFL. The Seahawks are like basically tanking, it seems, or that's kind of what the feeling was coming into the season. They've actually been pretty solid here early in the season. This is a game that you've got to win. You're at home. You're playing against a poor team. At that point, it's just a matter of where are we going with the line here. I'm going to take the Lions to cover the 6. I think that they hopefully will be more sound than the fans, and they're going to say, hey, we had some really good things that we've done. Let's build on those, and then we'll get better at those situational pieces that are causing us trouble. And if they start to right the ship there, who knows where they can end up.
Yeah, Seattle's a really bad football team, and they're even worse on the road. The NFL is hard to pick, man. You got the Colts beating the Chiefs today, the Jaguars beating the Chargers. You know, you got Miami beating Buffalo. I mean, these and they're winning outright, no spreads. I mean, it's wild. The NFL, anybody could win week to week. They truly could. I really like the way the Lions are playing. I really like Dan Campbell. That being said, he has got to be one of the worst game managers all time as head coaches. And I just don't get it. He doesn't have to be good. Like, it's 2022, you know, pay somebody to manage the clock and make better like decisions for you. You just coach the team, be the CEO of the football team, you know, hire a game manager, like a former head coach that actually understands this stuff, because he doesn't. And Derek, you're being kind. I like him too, but he makes horrible decisions. And he has ever since he's been the head coach there, you know, as far as like onside kicks, different times of timeouts, you know, going for it on fourth down. I mean, he's like it's like he's playing a video game at times. That we've mentioned that too, but I do really like him. The Lions have covered all 3 weeks this year. I'm saying they're going to cover all four. I'm taking the Lions and I'm giving the 6 points.
I have picked against the Lions all 3 weeks and lost all three picks. I did not watch the game live today. I watched the replay of it when I got home, kind of fast forwarded through it. I too think they're playing good football. Like, they're making enough plays. Offense looks aggressive. I mean, they had over 400 yards today. They're coming at you on the ground, through the air. Play calling seems adequate. They're a little bit banged up. Obviously, my guy Swift, who's also on my fantasy team, by the way, is limping all over the place. Their top receivers hurt a little bit. I think Goff is playing at a high level, but this is the one everybody said, hey, they could steal one in Minnesota, then maybe we can get to 3-1. Everybody's just counting this game as a win 2 weeks ago, this Seattle game. And that is usually when things go south for the Lions. I got a problem with this one. I see Seattle coming in. I think they're going to keep it within six. I would not, to be honest, even be surprised if Seattle wins the game outright. And I'll be pulling for the Lions in a great way. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one. So. All right, that gets us through the week. We had a few differences. We got some similarities too, but it's a good week. There's an interesting football going on, and we got some big games coming up the next 2 weeks as well, against with some different teams. A lot of these league races are going to be determined in weeks 7 and 8. So looking forward to that. Anyway, you guys enjoy the clinic this weekend. I'll be watching my wife dance in a barn somewhere in Lincoln, Nebraska. Yeah, she's all fired up about it. I won't leave my chair from the time I get in there. Just going to eat some dinner. Got to hobnob a little bit, but it's a barn. One of these barn weddings. Anybody get married outside of a barn these days? Everything's a barn wedding. So do I wear jeans and boots? Do I wear my suit? Give me some advice on how to do this. But
I just want video of you dancing in the barn.
Not That's happening. What I want. It's not Come happening. On, man. I barely danced at my own wedding. Definitely not going to happen at someone else's wedding. So when Derek gets married next summer, not dance. Unless I have to, unless there's some traditional father, whatever. I got to dance with Stephanie, maybe one dance or something. I give her one. I give her one dance. Slow dance only. So anyway, you guys have a good week. Take some good notes. Josh, you've always taken good notes for me at clinics. I expect copies of them. And we'll see you guys next time.